standing next door to this church is Cromwell House, though it wasn't built until the end of the 17th century. Monarchy has come a long way from Charles I, who invoked the divine right of kings to justify imposing his will and lost his head for it. Once religion and political power become intertwined, things tend to go badly wrong. Cromwell's rule became a military dictatorship and collapsed soon after his death. Then, 2 years after Charles II returned as king, around a third of the Anglican clergy were ejected from their livings for refusing to accept the Act of Uniformity, which established the Church of England and penalised those who would not conform to it. Those same nonconformists are the spiritual ancestors of this congregation. So you might think that given this history, we would be reluctant to celebrate the Platinum Jubilee of our longest-serving monarch. That we are not is surely because monarchy has evolved into something quite different from the autocratic rule of Charles I and his predecessors. The victorious Roundheads may then have been ousted by the Cavaliers, but the seeds of what would become our parliamentary democracy had already been sown. There was no going back. Monarchs have been shorn of their powers, but have become something else, more, I suspect, by accident than design. They've come to stand for a sense of continuity, which brings with it a sense of stability. They stand above the dirty business of politics, our voting tribes, our heated arguments and entrenched divisions, and act as a focus for what holds us together and for our common hopes and aspirations, never more powerfully than in times of national and international crisis. Whether we are fervent or lukewarm monarchists, or republicans at heart, Queen Elizabeth II has been a model we can all admire because she has done what she promised. You can gripe about wealth and status. You may not share her love of horses, but most of us gladly acknowledge her steadfast service to the nation. Though the world of 70 years ago was in many ways different, post-war austerity and rationing were still in place, and the sun was setting on what was still the British Empire, the problems we face today, of violence and war, of huge economic and social injustice at home and across the world, are with us still all too painfully. We have changed with time, so has she, through times both good and bad. She has represented us wherever she has gone, not through the exercise of power, but by example. Empire has become Commonwealth, a partnership of nations. She has dedicated her life to the service of her people, and we are the better for it. She has spoken often and movingly about her Christian faith and about the centrality of Jesus Christ to her understanding of what it is important for human societies to flourish. Mutual toleration, the ability to forgive as the precondition for healing old wounds, kindness, sympathy, courtesy, courage. Qualities sorely needed if human beings are to find a way out of the cycle of violence and misery which blights the lives of so many. That it matters what we do that we can make a difference for the good, that the simple message of love which Jesus taught turns the world upside down. Those are her words, not mine. If we were sitting down today to design a system of government fit for our times, I doubt that we would invent a monarchy. There is something faintly absurd about having a head of state who is there because of a family tree. It's not very democratic. We have no say in the matter. But there is something helpful about a constitutional monarchy, because it is not prey to the constant shifts of party politics, nor regarded with suspicion because we voted for the other side. Democracy as we know it is a messy business. It's full of arguments and scandals. It lurches this way and that. Politicians make grand promises they can't fulfill and sometimes give the impression that they are more interested in power for themselves than in serving those who elect them. In recent years, it's become harder to sense any guiding principle among some of our leaders other than self-preservation. People then lose trust in the processes of government, and that is a dangerous moment for democracy. That's why people have sometimes looked for a strong leader who will sort everything out. You may recall one who made the trains run on time in Germany in the 1930s and went on to murder millions of Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, and disabled people. When you look round the world now, you quickly lose count of the states which are effectively the pawns of a single individual and his cronies. Russia, China, the so-called benevolent dictatorship in Rwanda, where our government plans to send some of the refugees who, at great danger to themselves, have washed up on our shores. And more than 50 other nations who live under autocratic, even tyrannical rule. This is a major fault line in the world, and democracies are finding it hard to offer a coherent vision of what they stand for, or to stand up to what, to all too often, is simply institutionalized evil. The Bible is very ambivalent about monarchy too. When the Israelites first demanded a king so that they could be like the other nations, the prophet Samuel warned them in uncompromising terms, "God is your king, go down that road, and human kings will conscript your sons into their armies and your daughters to be their housekeepers and cooks. They will take the best of your produce and give it to their courtiers. They will take your servants and cattle and put them to their work, and you will cry out." But Samuel had to give in. The roll call of biblical monarchs is not exactly encouraging. Saul the first was paranoid. David and Solomon, the greatest kings of Israel, were never paragons of virtue. There's Esther, of course, the saviour of her people, but there's also Jezebel. Most of the kings of Israel and Judah receive a pretty damning report in the pages of Scripture. Not could do better, but a total disgrace. Have we changed? Modern dictators act as Samuel warned. They clamp down on freedom and take everything from you and share it among their mates. Perhaps there's no such thing as a perfect form of government, From Plato's Republic to Thomas More's Utopia and beyond, thinkers have wondered what such a thing might look like. I doubt it exists. But if you compare the 70 years of Elizabeth II with the Putins and Xi Jinpings of this world, do we not feel moved to give thanks to God that the individual who enshrines the values by which we hope to live is cut from so very different a cloth? Her service may have been opening factories and bridges, launching ships, visiting schools and hospitals, receiving distinguished visitors, some of whom I imagine she had hoped never to set eyes on. It's not what we are called to do, thankfully, but we are called to a life of service. I don't think that means letting everyone treat you like a doormat or paying so little attention to your own needs that you collapse under the strain. It means that we give of ourselves with the abilities and gifts we have, not just to make ourselves feel good, but to build up our communities, heal hurts, bring friendship and love to those who do not know them, give away what we do not need to those who do, never forgetting to be kind and gentle with ourselves. To be patriotic is one thing. To espouse the kind of nationalism which looks down on, or worse still, makes war on other nations, is quite another. As a nation, we may celebrate this jubilee and all that it stands for, but as Christians from many nations, we have a wider allegiance. For in Jesus Christ and his church, there should be no barriers to exclude, only a door wide open to welcome people of every nation and class and colour, regardless of gender and sexual orientation, united by a love for our Lord and by a common call to serve his purposes of love. It is by building one another up in community that we learn the values of forgiveness and acceptance. Witness the miracle of the healing of old wounds and of lives made new. And travel safely on the sure foundations of Christ's royal way. Amen.